Well, good morning and welcome to our site as we continue our sermons in the Acts of the Holy Spirit, Never a Dull Moment. So we're doing a series in the book of Acts in the New Testament. If you have your Bible handy, would you please turn with me now to chapter 13 of Acts in the New Testament? Acts chapter 13. Last Sunday, we looked at doing church God's way. This morning, we look at doing missions God's way. That's the title of our sermon this morning, Doing Mission God's Way. That's the way we all want to do it, isn't it? So let's look at this exciting story of how the mission work of the early church really took off as the Holy Spirit worked mightily in the church at Antioch. Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They travelled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul, because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil, and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind, and for a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Just so far, and may God bless his word to us today as we consider a biblical strategy for doing mission God's way. Last Sunday morning, as I mentioned, we looked at doing church God's way. We looked at the church that God chooses and uses, the church that's going to make a difference in its world. We saw how the base of the church and its operation seemed to move from Jerusalem to Antioch. And we saw how that a nation is blessed if it is used as God's instrument in the furtherance of the kingdom of God. We also saw that a church that is allowing itself to be used as an instrument of God in the advance of his kingdom is going to be blessed. And the converse true, a nation that turns in on itself, a church that turns in on itself will die. But as we look at the church at Antioch, we see, as we saw last time, there were six characteristics of this church. They did church God's way, first of all, by living out their core values, those non-negotiables of faith and practice that they held dear. They lived out their core values. Second, they functioned like a body with diversity of giftings and yet unity and autonomy. Thirdly, we saw they focused on God's world and not their own. They were pioneers, not settlers. They weren't Jerusalem-bound or Jewish-bound. The fields were white unto harvest and the world was their parish. Fourthly, they fasted and prayed, they worshipped, and in their worship, they executed self and expelled Satan and enthroned the Savior and advanced the kingdom of God. They lived out their core values, they functioned like a body, they focused on God's world and not their own, they fasted and prayed, and then fifthly, we saw they were filled with the Holy Spirit, sensitive to His voice and obedient to His commands. And then sixthly, we saw they freed the best people for missions. They were willing to send out their very best to the coalface, to the forefront of Jesus' redemptive mission. And so we continue the series today as we take a look at some valuable insights into their strategy as a church on mission with God. And we see how to do mission God's way. What is your plan? What is our plan as a local church to be on mission with God over the next year, over the next 5 years, over the next 10 years? If we fail to plan, we plan to fail, as the saying goes. For the Christian, it is essential to have God's direction. So many Christians have the mistaken idea that to be spiritual just means you kind of let things happen. No, God calls us to know His will, to know Christ, and to make Him known. And so exciting things were happening in the early church. For several years, as we have seen, the church had been incubating in Jerusalem. Then God allowed persecution to come. And through the persecution, believers were scattered everywhere. Philip led a revival situation in Samaria. And then we saw how that Peter was able to take the Gospels to the Gentiles in the city of Caesarea. And then we saw last time how the base of the church's operations moved northward to Antioch. And now we see in this church in Antioch that we looked at last time, two members of the pastoral team, if you like, are called to go out on mission with God. We get our English word mission from the Latin word missio, to send. The great missionary movement of the early church is about to begin. And in observing God's choice servants here, we find our own strategy for every local church in the world. Well, we had 6 points last time as we looked at doing church God's way. I just have 6 straightforward, simple, practical points today coming right out of our text this morning on doing mission God's way. Saul and Barnabas, we read in verse 4, were sent on their way by the local church, being an instrument of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Here's our first principle if we're going to do mission God's way. It is to be rightly related to God. To God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So often over the past decades, perhaps we could say even the past century or two, the evangelical or Bible-believing church, gospel-believing church, has put an emphasis on the fatherhood of God and the work and person of Jesus Christ, but sadly, largely neglected the person and work of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do that to be on mission with God, God's way. You have to be rightly related to God the Holy Spirit. They were sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. You will not survive in mission, in the mission of God's church in these last days, if you're not rightly related to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if you do not have a full-orbed understanding of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. He really is the motivator and the empowerer and enabler of mission. Don't be ashamed of the person and work of the Holy Spirit of God, for to be controlled and equipped and enabled and sent by the Holy Spirit is principle number one in our strategy for doing mission God's way. As the little chorus we sometimes used to sing said, if we do not move in God, we may not as well move at all. They were sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. The local church is where Spirit-filled people are sent out. It's where they get their training and equipping. What a blessing, what a privilege has been mine for the last decades to equip men and women young people, boys and girls, and young adults, and sometimes middle-aged or even older adults too, to join God in his redemptive mission. The local church is here to discern the Holy Spirit's leading and to train and release men and women for service. Our task is to prepare people whom God can send into the world with the gospel, the good news about Jesus. We cannot achieve that, my brothers and sisters, if we're not rightly related to the Holy Spirit of God, yielded to him in a daily life of trustful obedience to his word. If we're not being led by the Spirit, if we're not walking in the Spirit, to use Paul's words, if we're not keeping in step with the Spirit, we are grieving the Spirit. And if we're grieving the Holy Spirit, we need to confess and forsake the things that hurt him and hinder us in our Christian walk. We have to ask this morning, as we look at this first principle of being on mission with God, doing it God's way, is there anything in my life this morning, is there anything in your life this morning that is offensive to God? Being rightly related to God and being right related to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is crucial in doing mission God's way. And then the second principle, begin with what you have and where you are. Don't make it complicated. God doesn't expect us to do all kinds of amazing things. We are to begin with who we are, with what we have, where we are. That's how Moses operated. That's how David operated. That's how every saint and every missionary of God has operated on mission with God. Begin where you are and begin with what you have. These missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, they began from Antioch and they went to Cilicia, just 16 miles away on the Mediterranean coast, a beautiful port. But then they set sail for Cyprus, the island that was about 100 miles away. Why Cyprus, you may ask? Well, maybe because Barnabas was from there. He had family there. He had friends there. He had contacts there. It seemed the most logical, reasonable place to begin. It was a fair, tangible, measurable goal. I want to encourage you with that thought this morning. You don't have to shoot for the stars. You don't have to try and set out to be a world-famous missionary or evangelist. Friend, just humbly begin with who you are and what you have and where you are. Your family, your school friends, your college friends, university friends, your contacts on the campus or at work, or in your neighborhood. I mean, most of us probably don't have to go more than just a block away from where we live to find someone who doesn't know Christ. I had a friend who visited someone not too long ago, and the friend had been praying about this for several years. And when he knocked on the door and the person opened and he said, "If you don't mind, I've come to tell you about the Lord and to see if you understand the good news about Jesus." And the person said, "Why have you waited so long?" Friend, there are many people who are just waiting to hear the good news about Jesus. So start where you are. Take advantage of your natural contacts at work, the tennis club or the sports club or wherever God will lead you. From there, as he did with Paul and Barnabas, they began at Barnabas's old stomping ground. And what a delightful place, too. A few decades ago, our local church sent a missionary to the island of Cyprus with what was then the Middle East Christian Outreach. And what a blessing Elaine and I had, 10 days just going to Cyprus and touring with our missionary. What a beautiful island and what magnificent beaches. Well, Paul and Barnabas traveled the whole island until they came to Paphos. We spent a day there too. And what a lovely place. And so don't say I can't. And don't say what do I have to have, or where do I have to go, or what kind of person do I have to be? Friend, God made you unique. When he made you, he threw away the mold. You're one of a kind, and God has blessed you with every blessing of the Spirit in the heavenly places in Christ. And so just begin where you are with what you have. Doing mission God's way means being rightly related to the Holy Spirit, and then humbly beginning with what you have where you are, and ask God to guide you into contacts and meaningful conversations with people. Principle number three, partnerships are key. Partnerships are absolutely key, vital and crucial in mission. If you want to really be on mission with God, you have to be a team person. Sadly, relationships are often problem number one on the mission field. It shouldn't really be like that, because we're called to be partners. We're called to partnership in the gospel. So verse 13 of our text, the previous chapter, tells us when Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, that is, the taking the gift from Antioch to Jerusalem, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. Paul tells us in his Colossian epistle that John Mark was Barnabas' cousin, Colossians 4:10. Verse 3 of chapter 13, where we are this morning, tells us that they took John Mark with them on their mission to Cyprus. They worked as a team. They brought along a protege. That's how Paul operated with Timothy, his son in the faith. That's how we're all to operate on mission, to build into individuals, to equip them and encourage and help them, to build into teams and to be a team builder, because partnerships are key in fulfilling our Lord's commission. The churches need to partner with churches. Mission organizations need to partner with mission organizations. The first thing to notice from here on is that Paul, not Barnabas, becomes the leader of the team. Barnabas acknowledges Paul's superior gifts of leadership and ministry, and was quite happy to hand over the reins to him. From now on, it's no longer Barnabas and Saul, but Paul and Barnabas. Interesting. Yes, cooperation, partnership. Second thing to notice is, of course, as we've said, they took an understudy along with them. They took Mark as their assistant. They would teach John Mark everything that God had taught them. This is the principle of being on mission with God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Paul says, "The things that you have learned from me, those things teach to responsible, reliable people who'll be able to teach others also." That's how to be on mission God's way. Make disciples who will make disciples, who can make disciples, who can make disciples. That's the only way the Great Commission of Jesus can be fulfilled. And the wonderful thing is that on a missionary team, there are jobs for everyone. You don't have to be a famous evangelist, just be a helper. As Martin Luther King said, we can all be great, we can all be servants. Be a team person. Be willing to learn all you can, help all you can, wherever you can. Then work yourself out of a job by teaching others all that you have learned, and you will never be out of work in the kingdom of God. My brothers and sisters, the church cannot grow to maturity. No church can grow to maturity unless we're team people. The church cannot reach the neighborhood, much less the world, if we're not in partnership with one another. Barnabas trained Paul. Paul took over leadership from Barnabas, and together they trained John Mark. They worked as a team, not for personal position, but for the extension of the kingdom of God. We see this again and again in the Apostle Paul's ministry and in his letters, how he, for example, rejoices with the Philippian church that they have been in partnership. He says, "I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for you. I always pray with joy." Why? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. How I thank God that as a local church here in Fisher, Cape Town, we have a partnership with 12 missions and missionaries, or missionary couples. missionary families. What a blessing to be bringing them to God day by day and week by week in prayer. What a blessing to give a substantial amount of our gross income every month to supporting people who are on the mission field, because we're in partnership with each and every one of them, and they are precious to us, and we become precious to them as a little local congregation who is on mission with God. And so we come to principle number four, doing mission God's way, and that is recognize the primacy of the proclamation of the gospel. If we do mission God's way, we'll always keep the main thing the main thing. Social action is important. Alleviating suffering is important. Helping the sick is important. Providing for those who are in need is important. All those things are important. But the most important thing of all is to recognize the primacy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To keep the main thing in view always. Verse 5, what did they do? They proclaimed the word of God at Salamis. Verse 7, Sergius Paulus heard the word of God at Paphos. They traveled the island, proclaiming the good news about Jesus, their Messiah and Savior and Lord. So here's a biblical strategy for being on mission with God, doing mission God's way. Do you remember the points so far? Number one, be filled with the Holy Spirit and controlled by Him. Be rightly related to the Holy Spirit. Principle number two, humbly and simply begin with what you have where you are. Number three, be a team person. Be a partner in mission. Number four, recognize the primacy of proclamation. Priority number one in God's program is the salvation of lost people. How can they hear unless they have a preacher? And how will they have a preacher, says Paul in Romans 10, unless one is sent? So let me say it again. Social reform is important. Economic viability is important. Political stability is important. The alleviation of poverty and disease is important. The fight against injustice and oppression is important. And Christians should be involved in all of these things as the salt of the earth, the light of the world. But friend, only Jesus can forgive sin. Only Jesus can restore a broken relationship with God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can save eternally, and therefore the proclamation of the gospel is always primary if we're doing mission God's way. Our society is desperately in need of reformation, but more than reformation, it needs redemption. And our primary task in life is to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ, to present Jesus the Redeemer, to share the good news. Now, any time Christians get serious about proclamation, what happens? They face opposition. Excuse me. Any time God begins to transform lives, you will meet the enemy head on. So we have to come to principle number five in the strategy of doing mission God's way. Defeat the enemy. Defeat the enemy. It's a point that emerges clearly from our text. What happens on their missionary journey? They haven't gone long before they travel through the whole island and come to Paphos, and lo and behold, there they meet a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus. An intelligent man, the text says, who was influencing the proconsul who wanted to hear the word of God, and Satan was trying to use Elymas, the sorcerer, for that's what his name means, who was opposed to them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. So the next principle in doing mission God's way, defeat the enemy. You see, while God has a strategy for us, the devil has a strategy against us. Anywhere you go with the gospel in the world, you will find Satan got there first. The Bible calls him the God, little g, the God of this world. Paul was to discover that time and again, the enemy was confronting him in many different ways. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, We read, "For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us." To the Ephesians, he writes, "Put on the full armor of God, because we're not just wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the world rulers of this present darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places." So Luke, the physician, tells us in considerable detail in Acts what happened at Paphos with regard to Sergius Paulus and Elymas. Elymas had the wrong spirit. He was demonized. He was an instrument of the devil. When we're on mission with God, we will constantly be up against the enemy of our souls and his strategies, devices, and deceptions. And the enemy will seek to use people, from religious people to irreligious people. And so we need to have on the full armor of God if we're on mission with him. We need to put on every day the belt of truth in Jesus, the breastplate of his righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shoes of the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith, praying with the Holy Spirit's help. Strictly speaking, according to Jewish law, this sorcerer should have been put to death. Leviticus 19, 26 and 31 make that clear. Chapter 20, verses 6 and 27. But notice how Paul dealt with him in verse 9. The Apostle Paul had the gift of discernment. And so it's interesting to see Dr. Luke's terminology. Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You're going to be blind, and for a time you'll be unable to see the light of the sun. And so Paul deals with enemy opposition, not with the armor of flesh, but with the armor of God. What an opportunity that the enemy has time and again to intrude into a church that's on mission with him, or brothers and sisters in Jesus who are on mission with him. Justice tempered by mercy for a season, opportunity to be saved for this Jew who had become Satan's medium. Defeat the enemy. And then, very positively, our final point, number 6, enjoy the victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not our victory. The battle belongs to the Lord. But we rejoice time and again in his victory when we're on mission with him. Oh, I love hearing testimonies, week by week, of those who have been influenced by the good news of Jesus, those who've surrendered their lives to Christ, those who've come out of darkness into God's marvelous light, those who've come out of spiritual death into spiritual life, those who've been born anew of the Spirit of God, born into the family of God, set free from the shackles of sin, set free to glorify God. Enjoy the victory. Don't concentrate on the enemy. Concentrate on the victor. His name is Jesus. The gospel is the power of God leading to salvation for all who believe. In verse 12 we read, when the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed. People need to see the enemy being defeated. Amen? One of the most influential men on the island was saved. You can imagine the chain reaction that must have been set up when he was set free from his own sin, set free from this bondage to the sorcerer, set free from satanic influence. No wonder Luke says he was amazed, he was astonished at the power of God. J.B. Phillips says he was shaken to the core by the teaching of the Lord. What happened? Well, he recognized the lordship of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus, the Redeemer, his redeeming grace, and he transferred his trust from the sorcerer to Christ. He was translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He was amazed by the grace of God in the forgiveness of his sins, set free from occultic bondage. Newness of life and fullness of life were now his through faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, the teaching of the Lord is amazing, is it not? The word of the Lord is powerful. sharper than a two-edged sword, and you need to have that as part of your strategy. The enjoyment of the victory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's no greater joy than the joy of leading another to Christ. There's more joy in heaven, says Jesus, over one sinner who comes to repentance than over 99 people who feel they have no need of repentance. So, as you're on mission with God, don't turn your attention to the devil and his works. Recognize them for what they are and turn your attention to Christ and the victory of the gospel, and fight the good fight of the faith, casting yourself into the arms of a loving God, where you'll find a peace and a confidence you never knew before. Let's trust God to help us to follow through this strategy, to be placed on higher ground. Yes, God will test us, but every test will grow us stronger and more fruitful. So, here is how you do mission God's way. Number one, be rightly related to the Holy Spirit, sensitive to His voice, obedient to His will. Second, begin with where you are, and just begin with what you have. For Moses, it was a rod. For young David, it was a sling. What's in your hand? Begin with what you have and where you are. And then three, be a team person. Recognize the value of partnerships. Number four, recognize the primacy of proclamation. Make sure you know how to share the gospel with others, and do it as God gives you the opportunity, with boldness, humility, and faith that God is in the business of changing lives for the better. Number five, then defeat the enemy. Put on the full armor of God. Take your stand against the enemy's devices. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, says James. And then finally, enjoy the victory, for we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. To God be all the glory. Help us, dear Lord, to do mission your way. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you for this word today. Thank you for this wonderful understanding that you give to us of the first missionary journey. Thank you, dear Lord, that we can, 20 centuries later, be studying how Paul and Barnabas did it on their first missionary journey when they were sent by the Holy Spirit through the local church to do mission work in Cilicia and in the island of Cyprus. This was the beginning of the great mission movement. And Lord, we just pray that every one of us and every church that we represent, as those who listen to the sermon today or in the future, may be part of the redemptive mission of Jesus on earth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. And with that authority, you say to us, each one of us, as you go into your world, make disciples, learners, pupils who will so learn of Christ that they'll become like him and do his work. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equipping them to do everything that I have commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, says Jesus. Lo, I'm with you always as you make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. I'm with you always in this work of mission to the very end of the age. So grant your blessing upon every listener and upon every congregation represented, and grant, Heavenly Father, that day by day we may wake up to the great privilege of knowing we're on mission with God. And please take our lives and consecrate us to yourself and use us in your service. Grant us the Holy Spirit's enabling, that we may be bold witnesses to the Lord Jesus and have the joy of pointing many to him. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
O great God of highest heaven, Occupy my lowly heart. Own it all and reign supreme. Conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your holy war. You have loved and purchased me. Make me yours forevermore. I was blinded by my sin, had no ears to hear your voice, did not know your love within, had no taste for heaven's joys. Then your Spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me. Through the gospel of your Son, gave me endless hope and peace. Yes, you did. Me now to live a life that's dependent on your grace. Keep my heart and guard my soul from the evils that I face. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and deed. Oh great God of highest heaven, glorify your name through me. You are worthy to be praised.